Pels fans, welcome to part four and the final part of our Southwest Division preview. We've just finished up conversations with Grizz expert Mark King, J.R. Wilco of PoundingTheRock.com, and Mavs expert Josh Bow. And now we welcome our old friend Kelly Iko of ESPN Houston, SB Nation Radio, the Dream Shake, and the 94 Feet Report. Kelly, you keep pretty busy, don't you?
Hey, you got to hustle in this world, man. You got to hustle. I got to learn from you. I got to learn from the boss.
Oh, get out of here, man. Nobody works as hard as you do. So happy for you, man. Congratulations all around. This is all such great stuff. You guys can follow him at Kelly Iko NBA. And Kelly, let's dive right on into Houston Rockets basketball. We've had a bit busy offseason, but you guys have probably have an even more to go along with the Chris Paul stuff. You've got Carmelo happening every day. Let's just get the Melo stuff out of the way before we get to anything else. Frank Isola of the New York Daily News reported Wednesday that Anthony was cautiously optimistic that the Rockets and Knicks would be able to complete a trade by Monday. Woj stays true to his report that Melo will not waive his no-trade clause to join the Blazers. Scott Perry left Melo's name out when addressing the media. Is Melo about to become a Rocket? And if so, what will the Rockets be sending to compensate the Knicks other than like Ryan Anderson?
Wow. Well, this thing has been on the two-yard line, as you know, for like how many weeks? So for a while, talks had died down between the teams, and then they picked back up. I'm guessing, from what I heard before, Portland was rumored to be the third team, you know. But then I'm guessing at some point they were, hey, we can get Melo too. So screw that. We're not going to help y'all, you know. So this thing has just been going on for a long time, and I don't know. Monday is media day for the Knicks, and I don't think they would want to have him answering any awkward questions, you know. So they need to get a deal done. His family wants to get a deal done quickly just so everyone can move forward. And as far as what we would be sending them, apart from Rhino, it would probably be maybe Chinonu Onwuaku, like maybe Isaiah Taylor, a mixture of those partially guaranteed deals, maybe some second-round picks for whoever the third team is. Because I don't think at this point we can do a straight two-team deal. I don't think. The Mavericks.
I think you already gave your 2018 first to the Clippers, so you'd have to go to 2020 to dish out another first round pick.
It's a mess, really.
It is a mess.
I never count out Daryl Morey because he always has something up his sleeve.
Like, yes,
who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. But last season, the Rockets finished 55-27. Let's get to your boys. Good enough for third in the West. They fell in round two to the Spurs after tying up 2-2 before losing the final two. Game six was pretty decisive, 114-75, about a 30-point difference there. And national media outlets, again, criticized Harden for sort of checking out and compared it to some of the playoff performances from the past with Dwight Howard, a la when Josh Smith led that comeback, I don't even know how many years ago. D'Antoni had a great year, 2 6th Men of the Year finalist. James Harden finished second at MVP voting. Talk about the mood of your city heading into the offseason and their reaction to that playoff finish.
Well, I can tell you from one thing, the mood of the city after that game was terrible. Like, to the thousands of hundreds, whatever, of fans watching the game, it felt as if we just got so far and then just gave up, you know? Yeah, I know, I get that. I know the game five ending was like demoralizing because if you go back and watch that game, we really should have sealed that game away before overtime. And the fact that we let it get to overtime and then for Harden to get blocked the way he did by Ginobili, who everyone's always compared him to because of the way they play, and then that carried over to game six where he didn't even take a lot of shots in the first half or whatever. I think it was like 2 for 11 or something. So it was a dark time. And then all of a sudden, bam, you see the Rockets get Chris Paul. And then bam, we hear about the Carmelo thing, and then we get PJ Tucker, and then we get Luke Richard and Baramute, and then just a bunch of new moves to re-energize the crowd and the sale of the team. That was also a big question mark because we didn't know if Yao Ming was going to put a group together, would Dikembe Mutombo put a group together, would a Chinese buyer get it? And then in the end, it was sold to Tomas Fertitta, which is good because he's a local and he loves his city. So Right now, all we can do is wait on the 2-yard line for Carmelo, if he's here or not.
With Tillman Fertitta, he's 100% behind Daryl Morey, or is he going to want his own general manager at some point?
As far as Morey is concerned, he is 100% behind him. I'm not sure about Tad Brown, though. I'm not sure about that, because what I was told was if Fertitta or Mattress Mack had bought the team, he was going to look to bring in his own, like, executive. So it'll be interesting to see if Tad Brown keeps his job or is on the unemployment line.
Definitely, there would be a lot of teams lining up to secure him. Let's go back and talk Chris Paul. He left L.A. to join the Rockets. A somewhat surprising move in its own right, because he passed up the 5-year, $205 million deal that he pretty much negotiated for himself at the collective bargaining agreement. He forced his way to Houston, even sending Pat Beverly, Sam Decker, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and a first-round pick in the deal. Tell me your reaction to the move, and do you think the Rockets gave up too much for someone they would have gotten anyway, but just had to make the salaries work?
At first, I thought we gave up a lot, considering the fact that we threw in Trez and Decker. And I was like, I don't know. But Moore was able to bring in some more pieces to, like, make up for those losses. So we lost Decker and Trez and Bev. We also gain Chris Paul. We also bring back Troy Williams, which is an exciting young prospect. We also picked up two dope wings in PJ and Luke, which will help us on the defensive side, which we really need. And, yeah, just like he was able to make up for the loss and then some. That was what shocked me. I didn't think he would be able to do that.
Yeah, you guys did really well this summer, getting, as you mentioned, P.J. Tucker and Luke Richard Mbah-Moot. You also gained the rights to Tim Quarterman in the Clippers deal. Now, I know that I'd expect Mike D'Antoni to stagger the lineup so that one of James Harden and CP3 is always on the floor. But even so, talk about your rotations a little bit. Obviously, behind Chris Paul, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, and Clint Capella, whoever your starters are, you've got some version of Eric Gordon, P.J. Tucker, Mbah-Moot, Nene, and even, as you mentioned, Troy Williams. Who are you expecting to start, and who do you expect to be the second lineup off the bench?
Okay. As of today, I expect the starting lineup to be CP3, Harden, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, and Clint. And then the backup, well, the reserves, would be Nene at big, P.J. Tucker at the four, Luke Richard at the three. Well, those two are interchangeable, but those would be the three and the four. Two is Eric Gordon. And the one, right now I'm leaning towards Bobby Brown. I'm not sure if they're going to bring in someone else, because apart from him, we also have Isaiah Taylor, but I don't think he's ready to be, like, he's not there yet. But he'll get some minutes. I don't know. There was slipping around Isaiah Cannon. There was some whispers about that. Who knows?
Yeah, because on that second lineup, obviously there's going to be some version of either CP3 or James Harden leading the second lineup. But of Eric Gordon, P.J. Tucker, Luke Mbah-Moot, and Nene, and possibly even Troy Williams, it looks like Eric Gordon might be the one running that second unit, which he's certainly capable of getting his own shot, but I've never really seen him running an offense. So,
yeah. Oh, something I need to add. D'Antoni said he would stagger Chris Paul's and Jim Harden's minutes. So at all times, or almost all times, there's going to be a true playmaker on the floor. So
excellent stuff. So their minutes will still be up in the mid to late 30s, even in Chris Paul's quickly advancing age. I'm not sure how old he is, but he's definitely approaching his mid 30s.
32,
33. Yeah, so he's not that far up there. Let's talk a bit more about them, because they are the centerpiece of your franchise, and they're going to be the engines that drive you guys into the playoffs this season. James Harden moves to point guard now after enjoying his best year under Mike D'Antoni and finishing second in MVP voting in a very close race, finishing with 29-11-8 on 44-35. Everybody knows Chris Paul has a big alpha dog type gene in him. How are these two going to work together, and how quickly do you think it comes together?
Oh, it's like, I don't know if you've been watching this offseason, but it's amazing. It's like they have been together all the time. Chris Paul is like a big brother to James, because at times James could be like, he needed that other presence in his ear, you know? He's not that age where Chris Paul is, where Chris Paul is no jokes anytime. You saw him during the Clippers, like Blake, sometimes they would get mad because he's always so serious. And I'm in the mindset that if we had Chris Paul last year against the Spurs, game 6, someone that could get in Harden's ear and convince him to get ready to go, we would have been good to go for game 6. I feel like not having that vocal leader is what was keeping us back, because Harden isn't the most vocal of leaders. I mean, he did make strides this year in terms of getting the team together, putting on the same page, the weight, the workouts, just everyone coming together, but we still needed that veteran presence. That's what Chris
Paul was. So you're saying that with the addition of Chris Paul, you guys can go toe-to-toe with last season, I had the Spurs and the Warriors as very closely linked. I thought the two of them could have gone to 7 games. As we all were, so disappointed to see Kawhi Leonard go down. I thought the Spurs were the best team in the NBA to potentially foil the Warriors right alongside the Cleveland Cavaliers. But you're saying now that with the addition of Chris Paul, you put the Rockets right up there with the Spurs. How good do you expect the Rockets to be this year? Tell me how many games you expect them to win, where they finish in the West, and if you think they're good enough to challenge the Warriors.
Okay. Wins, there are a bunch of guys on Twitter, like some really smart analytical guys that have all these models and projections, and they can give you an exact number. My projection is somewhere between 58-59 wins. We had 55 last year. 58-59. We're right up there with San Antonio. Golden State, no. If we hit Carmelo, then we have a shot at, I wouldn't say dethroning them, but we can hold our own as far as scoring points in the series with them. Because if you have Chris Paul, Carmelo, and James Harden, reason the other shooters are going to score points. But as constructed right now, we'll be a good team, but we still need that last star, if you will, with the big three.
So you think you still need to add Carmelo before you can truly directly challenge the Warriors?
Yeah.
Cool. And I think he's somewhere around 25. I think he signed a 5-year, $124 million deal a couple of years ago. So to match salaries, Ryan Anderson and somebody else to match salaries. We already touched on that. But with that addition, you think the Rockets really challenged the Western Conference without Carmelo Anthony, with just the guys you guys have right now? Do you think you guys have a legitimate shot at taking down the Spurs or the Warriors in the playoffs?
The Spurs, most definitely. Most definitely. Words.
All right. All right, man. Let's get to our Pelicans. You guys embarrassed us when we had the national media spotlight over us directly after the Boogie Cousins trade, 129-99, and ultimately it wasn't that close. But 2 weeks later, a boogieless Pels team surprised the Rockets to the tune of 128-112 with the help of a career day from Solomon Hill, who did something to the tune of 37 rebounds, 6. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anybody was as shocked as Pelicans fans. You guys might have been surprised, but you couldn't have been more than us. Now he's out 6 to 8 months with a hamstring tear, so you don't have to worry about him. The final matchup, when the Pels had everything to play for, saw us losing 107-117. But both teams are vastly different from then. The Pelicans replaced Tim Frazier with Rondo. We added Ian Clark, Tony Allen, Darius Miller to the group. You guys obviously have CP3, Mbah Moots. You lost Lou Williams. I think I lost you, Kelly. Kelly, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go for it. Did you hear the question?
The last thing I heard was Ian Clark.
All right, how do you expect these two teams to stack up now with all the changes that have taken place on their first matchup on December 11th?
It's going to be much harder because now you guys have a full offseason to work with Boogie and Anthony Davis. I feel like last season was just plug them in and said, go do your thing. Now you have Rondo. Maybe you can get a healthy Jrue Holiday. Ian Clark was a very underrated pickup for you guys. And Darius Miller. I saw y'all sign Tony Allen. Is that a thing?
Yeah, we absolutely did. We also brought back Dante Cunningham. So with Solomon Hill's loss, there's a debate going on in New Orleans about who's going to start at the three between Tony Allen or Dante Cunningham. But even should Tony Allen come off the bench, they'd probably put him against whoever's on the floor between Chris Paul and James Harden and try to slow those guys down.
Very annoying.
Yeah.
The Pelicans have a bright future. Like, I could see them get to the 8-7 seed, maybe. Yeah, health permitting. That's the biggest thing.
Because yeah, so right now, it's kind of a battle between your backcourt and our front court. Capella matches up nicely with Anthony Davis. He's very athletic, a good rim protector. But last matchup, we saw Boogie Cousins match up really well against Ryan Anderson and took advantage of him. Would you expect the Rockets to throw some version of Mbah Moot or PJ Tucker at Boogie Cousins?
Yep, PJ. They're going to stick PJ on them. They're going to try their best. Boogie is an animal, but we're going to throw whatever we got.
And how do you think P.J. Tucker's going to fare against Boogie? I haven't watched a lot of P.J. Tucker's game, to be truthful.
He'll give him a hard body. But ultimately, this is a scorer's league, and Boogie is a scorer, so he's going to get his points one way or the other. He's just too big. But it'll be fun. But Boogie can't beat us by himself. So that's the thing. Like, whenever you come into these kind of games where you know there's a clear advantage, you guys in the front court, all you have to think of is, okay, these guys are going to get their points. Where are the other points coming from? That's what we're going to work on neutralizing the shooters. Don't let them get hot, because then everything's messed up. If you let Anthony and DeMarcus get going, then you start sending help, then they kick it out to shooters, and then they start hitting threes. That's how you get down 12, 15 points in the game. So this should be some good games. Some good games.
Yeah, and CP3 loves switching on to bigger guys, and he's been successful in his career doing that. James Harden is, in all likelihood, I would think, going to be matched up against Jrue Holiday. There's going to be some version of Rondo and Holiday on CP3 and Harden for the majority of the game. How successful do you think your two backcourt guys are going to be against Rajon Rondo, who at his apex was a great defensive player, has taken a step back since then, but Jrue Holiday is still a pretty nasty defender. How much do you think your backcourt takes advantage of ours?
Well, our backcourt projects to average close to 50 points. So Jrue Holiday and Rondo are some bold. Jrue Holiday is a very engaged ball defender. Rondo, too, when he wants to be. So, I expect Harden and them to get their points, but it's about the efficiency, you know. How many shots is it going to take to get those points? Whereas on a normal day, it might take, if you're playing Brooklyn, maybe it'll take you 12 shots. But when you're playing New Orleans, it might take you 16, 17, 18 shots. You know what I'm saying? All right. It's all about how much you have to work to get those same points.
All right, Kelly, that's it for now. Thank you so much. Kelly is once again a representative of ESPN Houston, SB Nation Radio, The Dream Shake, and the 94 Feet Report. Kelly, tell our listeners about some of your work that you hope they'll check out.
You guys can check out my Trevor Ariza article. Daryl Morey actually read it and retweeted it, so that was pretty cool. Apart from that, I have a Carmelo article. I have a just go on ESPN 975 or Medium or 94 Feet or the Dream Shake. All my stuff is there, so I just do a lot, and I got stuff coming for y'all too. Pelicans fans. Awesome.
I've been Preston Ells, and this is the final piece of our Southwest Division series. I sadly will not be podcasting again until the season starts because I'm getting married here pretty soon and hopefully salvaging our honeymoon. I know, right? Our honeymoon was supposed to be in Puerto Rico, so at least we will be based in America now. We're probably, I don't know what we're going to figure out, but we're probably not going to travel to the Caribbean after everything that's going on down there. So who knows? Maybe there will be a podcast or two from the honeymoon, but... Best wishes to everybody in Puerto Rico. Complete devastation. What's happening down there? Our prayers and thoughts are with you guys. What's that?
Congrats on your upcoming nuptials.
Thanks, man. It has been stressful, to say the least, between appeasing all the family members, my bachelor party being a disaster because of the hurricane, and now with everything happening in Puerto Rico, our honeymoon's being rerouted. So, man, just get me to the church on time. But I will be back in full force. I will be back in full force once the season starts. In the meantime, keep your eyes locked onto birdrise.com. And if you like the pod and you want to do us one more favor and maybe give me a wedding present, hit that retweet button when you see the pod floating around on Twitter. Give it a 5-star rating. That'll be your gift to me. Thank you guys so much. Let's get excited. It's almost basketball time. Are you pumped, Kelly?
I'm excited. It's been way too long.
It's been too long, man. It's been an active offseason, but I'm ready to get to the games, man. I'm so pumped. Our roster looks so different. Your roster looks so different. There's possibilities for everybody. Everybody's 0-0 right now. You know, let's just get to it. Let's get to that hardwood and let's see some hoops, man.
Hey, I'm interviewing. Can't wait.
Let's do it. All right, let's go, pals.